now.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hola, waka, chukma, all across the tundra. I'm also shouting out to the Yukon and the coast. This is Grady Deaton, and this is Coffee at KYUK. As usual, I'm excited, sharing my excitement with you. And, as usual, I've got my oatmeal on my sideboard ready to start the show. I'm your host for the show today. But on the show, I have an exciting introduction to make. You might have heard a new newscast reporter from KYUK in yesterday's newscast. That was definitely Olivia Eberts. And I hope that I've pronounced her name for the first time on the air correctly. Do I have it right? Good morning.
You do. Good morning, Grady.
Good morning.
Perfect pronunciation.
It's a pleasure to meet you. I'm sorry, we met. I don't want to lie. Let's set the stage for a second so we can let people know. This, of course, is a pandemic, and everyone knows that. You're a new employee here at KYUK. We are nowhere near each other right now. You're like way upstairs in the guest residence here at KYUK, and you'll be quarantined for a bit, huh?
That is right. I moved right upstairs in the apartment above KYUK, and I will be quarantining here for 2 weeks.
So today's day two, and you've obviously produced a newscast. I was taken aback when I heard your newscast yesterday. What's it like so far?
Well, it's been good. I don't come from a news background. I come from a documentary film background. So yesterday was definitely a big learning day for me. But it's been good so far. Looking forward to day two.
Lots of big experiences, though. Friday was your first day in Alaska and your first day in Bethel. Any glancing opinions about Alaska, your Alaska experience, or just Bethel?
I flew into Anchorage right at sunset, so I got to see those beautiful mountains right as the plane was going down, all tinted pink from the sunset. So that was really lovely. As far as getting into Bethel, it was quite the hullabaloo at the airport with the free COVID testing, which I thought was great. That went really smoothly. And overall, it was a lot less cold than I was expecting. So, good first day in Alaska.
Before I get into asking you a few questions about yourself, let me ask you about your desire to apply for the job that you now will hold here as a news reporter at KYUK. What drove you? What drove you to apply? What's your interest?
So, yeah, I've been working in storytelling for about seven or eight years now as a filmmaker. And I've been mostly working on longer-term projects. Filmmaking has been hard during the pandemic. Living in New York has been hard during the pandemic. And I really wanted a change. I wanted to live somewhere with more open space. And I also wanted to be working on stories on more of a daily basis rather than only long-form stories. So I was applying at NPR member stations. NPR seemed like a great organization. And I also had a friend who was a reporter here a few years back, Ben Matheson.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it seems like
I call Ben. Now, Ben, I consider Ben a staff member here, actually. Because, you know, comes every year for K300. He's one of the extended family here. I consider him just as much of a feature here as myself.
Yeah, he and I actually don't know each other at all from a news capacity. We worked together at a Norwegian language immersion summer camp about 10 years ago.
I am so happy that you mentioned something about language, because you're a bit of a polyglot.
Yes.
So tell me, how many languages do you speak?
My Norwegian and Italian are a little rusty, but Norwegian, Italian, and English are my fluent ones.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on learning Russian for the past 3 or 4 years, and Russian is quite complicated.
Y parece que puedes hablar un poquito español, ¿no?
Sí, también.
All right, cool.
Of course, when you speak one romance language, it's a little easier to understand the other ones. But yeah, I worked on a documentary with an immigrant community from Mexico in Queens, New York, and so I kind of like switched my Italian brain to my Spanish one at that point.
Well, it begs the question, what is your, I mean, I know it's day two, right? But what is your level of aggression toward attacking learning the Yupik language, Yuktun?
Oh, yes. So I am very curious to learn it. I love learning languages in sort of like immersion-based settings. But obviously right now that isn't so possible because of the pandemic. But yeah, if anyone from KYUK has any tips on classes, I'd love to delve in and at least learn the basics. I think that language is obviously such a big part of culture, and in order to really be able to report well in this community, I would be remiss to not learn at least a little bit. So, yeah.
Well, you know, you're new to radio reporting, but you've mentioned that you have a history in documentary filmmaking, and I've seen some of your shorts that you've put together. Let me ask you this for the sake of our listeners. What do you feel that you try to capture in your approach to storytelling that will obviously influence your both news reporting and any long-form stuff that you work on while you're in the region?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think for me, I really like capturing the sort of lyricality, if you can say that, of the everyday. I'm really interested in how everyday people live their lives and how that can come across in film and how everyone has a story to tell, and I've always thought to capture that in my film work and also put my own spin on that, so I'm excited to keep working in that capacity in a different medium.
Any ideas so far? I mean, you just arrived, but what's the first creative flow that's come your way so far?
I'm not sure if I am ready to share that with
that's
the world.
That's fine. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's fine. Have you gone out in the tundra yet?
I have. Yeah, Anna Rose and I had a very exciting walk on the tundra the other day.
Well, I have to encourage you to once you feel comfortable to get to a place on the tundra where you can look at greater than 180 degrees without seeing any of the affairs of man, I call it, right? Any of the infrastructure. And without anybody else, maybe a dog. But that, for me, was my first transformative Bethel experience. I was out on Tundra Ridge and just got to this space where I could not see anything except for tundra. And
that
I was just,
amazing.
You know, that was an impressive moment for me. So I encourage you to take advantage of that. I love the sunrise and sunset times, of course, especially this time of year because it's easy to hit them with the alarm clock. speaking of the alarm clock, any adjustment to the time zone for you?
Oh, a little bit. I was definitely falling asleep really early the first few nights, which also, it doesn't matter so much because I'm in quarantine what time I'm going to bed and waking up, as long as I'm awake in time for work. But I've been waking up pretty early for me, so.
So, well, it must be extremely strange relocating during a pandemic. How exactly are you weathering that transition, keeping in touch with contacts back home, all that, all the like?
Yeah, I've been keeping in touch, but I've also been trying to, I think it's important to delve into a new community and area as much as possible when you go to a new place or move to a new place. Definitely wouldn't want to be homesick. So I'm trying to focus as much as possible on the here and now. I've gotten to take a few socially distanced outdoor walks. So that's been nice. But yeah, I've been, of course, in touch with friends and family back home. Everyone is really excited for me to be here, so everyone is curious. I'm sharing lots of, like you mentioned, the sunrise and sunset. I've been sharing lots of photos of the sunrise and sunset from outside my bedroom window, and everyone is happy to get those pictures and notes.
And your view looks particularly journalistic as a result of those satellite dishes, huh?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely contextualizes my experience here.
Well, I see here that you were captain of your cross-country ski team. Did you bring your skis?
Oh, yeah, that's kind of funny. That was in high school, so I hope all you cross-country skiers out there aren't expecting me to win at all the races or anything. But I actually... As you probably know, shipping is quite expensive. My cross-country skis have been in Minnesota, which is where I'm from, but I've been living in New York City. Not a lot of opportunities for cross-country skiing in New York City, and shipping from Minnesota is really expensive. So I actually plan on purchasing a new pair of cross-country skis, hopefully when I can get to Anchorage.
Well, here's the thing I want to share with you, a piece of information. There's a great outfit they're all over Alaska. They're made up of, professional skiers and ski instructors that share cross-country skiing with indigenous communities and rural communities across Alaska. And indeed, they've come to Bethel and they've put a cache of cross-country skis here.
So, oh, that's so great.
Here's the thing for the listeners, right? If you're a cross-country skier and want to encourage your youth to cross-country ski, I'm going to say reach out to me, Grady@kyuk.org, and I'll connect you, because I just don't know the name and number offhand, of the person who has access to and is coordinating access to those skis, because there is a effort across Alaska to encourage cross-country skiing and trail building and trail use and ski use as a mode of transportation, because obviously. So I'll connect you with those resources as well, Olivia.
That sounds great.
And that's interesting. I myself am not a cross-country skier. I do like to downhill until I fall, and then I like to sit at the lodge in front of the fire.
Not a lot of places to alpine ski around Bethel.
No, there isn't. Is there any other activities that you particularly look forward to, winter or otherwise, here in this beautiful delta?
I've taken up sea kayaking this summer. Because of the pandemic, I went on a long kayaking trip up in the islands of Maine, that's not a winter activity, but I do look forward to breakup so that I can get a sea kayak out on the river, hopefully, and camping. I've never gone winter camping, so I would look forward to trying that. Snowshoeing. I'm from Minnesota, like I said, originally, and New York City just doesn't have the same winter that Minnesota or Alaska does, so I'm really looking forward to just living in a place with a real winter again.
Yeah, I'm interested in the juxtapositioning between people who have an upper state New York or Minnesota experience versus Alaska experience, or Delta experience, because here's, you know, Alaska's so big. So I'm interested in after the winter how you feel about that. Of course, I've only been here 4 winters, and I don't know if they've been standard in any way whatsoever, as is the case with weather, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we still have a few more minutes. I have been doing these interviews in different forms for a little bit of time, and coffee at KYUK has transformed due to COVID. Before, I would have cut away to a song of your choosing, and I also would have asked the following question, which I am going to ask. If you were a berry, what berry would it be and why?
Oh, that's a good question. Is sea buckthorn technically a berry?
What is that? Now you have to tell us what it is.
It's like the most delicious, bright orange, small, round berry that grows in northwestern Europe. Northern Scandinavia and northern Russia, Siberia. I think it stretches all the way to Siberia.
So you'd be that kind of berry?
I think I would be that berry. It's because it's like a little tart. It's exciting.
Oh.
It's very colorful, and it tastes good with tea and honey.
Well, but that's not okay.
I think it's a berry.
No, it's fine. No, just that's where the allusion to a person ends, because honey tastes anyway. But here's the thing. What is your favorite berry? Similar question, but what's your favorite berry?
Yeah, that's definitely a different thing. You don't always get to be your favorite thing. It's kind of the human dilemma, isn't
that
it?
That is the human dilemma. That's why I chuckled. You don't get to be your favorite. And if you try too hard to be your favorite thing, you end up getting yourself in trouble.
Yeah, it's better to be what you are, even if it's not your favorite thing. Maybe a raspberry.
All right. Well, you're in for a treat, because the berries are the real takeaway from the Delta. Salmon berries, cloudberries, low bush and high bush cranberries, and more. I just, don't do them justice by listing them off. But I have some to share, so I'll let you have some of those, so you won't have to wait too long.
Sounds like
a treat. Others will too. So that's about all we got. Anything you'd like to say to our listeners before we end this particular time together?
Thank you guys for having me here, and I'm really excited to slowly meet people as quarantine ends and from a safe social distance, and I'm just really looking forward to being a part of the community.
Well, I've already welcomed you in person, but on behalf of the listeners and here on Coffee at KYUK, big warm welcomes to Olivia Eberts. Best of luck to you. I hope you enjoy the work and the storytelling that you'll be endeavoring to continue here on your journey with us.
Thank you so much, Grady.
And that's my story. I'm sticking to it. That's my story. Thanks again for joining us.
All right.
And
bye.
Talk to you. Bye. Well, for listeners, it leaves me just one thing left to say, and that's, don't forget to be awesome to each other.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.